future of cybersecurity in AI-driven environments and where it's heading. Don't think this is going to be a technical conversation. This is far from that. I am here today with Lisa Ventura, MBE. She's the founder of Cybersecurity Unity and AI Unity. This will be very simple for you to understand, so don't disappear if you hear any sort of funny terms and things like this. Welcome, Lisa. It's nice to see you again. Looking forward to sort of digging into this topic.
Welcome to Influential Visions. Here we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. Here is your host, Nathaniel Schuller.
Thank you so much, Nat. It's a pleasure to be here as always. I really enjoy our discussions.
Likewise.
And I hope everybody else does too.
Yeah, me too. So, yeah, I mean, we're here to explore the potential risks and benefits of AI in protecting digital infrastructures and more, right? So, I mean, where do we really begin, Lisa, when it comes to this sort of stuff?
The internet age. We are now in the AI age, and there's been a big explosion of data systems and so on, and human monitoring can't keep up with it all. Cybersecurity is now becoming a real time battlefield, and AI is probably one of the only things that's fast enough to look at responding. I can go into some of the risks of AI in cybersecurity, and some of those is that hackers are using AI to do things like craft their phishing email attempts and automate them to send them out. They might also be looking at data poisoning, and there's an over-reliance on automation. And I think human judgment is still needed, and there should always be a human in the loop, so to speak, with anything to do with AI, because AI can still be fooled or manipulated.
Right. So when it comes to phishing email, what exactly is that? Because I think some people might not know what that is, really.
Absolutely. So these are often emails that are crafted to look exactly like they might have come from your bank or from an organization such as PayPal, or from another large organization. And the information contained is always usually designed to get you to action something. There'll always be a sense of urgency that you need to click on, you know, this link as soon as possible to secure your platform or secure your systems. So even just this week, in fact, Troy Hunt, who launched the website Have I Been Pwned, where you can put your email address in and have a look if your email address has been involved in any data breaches. Even he this week clicked on what turned out to be a phishing email attempt designed and crafted to look as if it had come from his MailChimp account. And it was asking him to click on a link because they detected some kind of suspicious activity. And he was very tired. He was traveling back from being on a long haul flight. And knowing that his newsletter was literally about to go out via MailChimp, he clicked on the link. And as a result, a hacker was actually able to gain access to and download his entire email list. He has put a blog post out about this. So it could be something as simple as that, but that's how easy it is for anybody. And I think it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when we will be impacted by something like that. Because if even somebody like, you know, Troy Hunt, with his standing with the Have I Been Pwned website and the amount that he writes in terms of cyber awareness, if he can be subjected to something like that, it's only a matter of time, I think, before it happens to all of us.
Yeah, it's very risky. I mean, look, the internet is like the Wild West, right? And we need to take responsibility for our own security to some extent. But I think ISPs, internet service providers, should really take some more responsibility around that, in my personal opinion. But it's really a real challenge. So what was the other thing that you mentioned a minute ago? Because I sort of got a bit lost, really.
Yeah, absolutely. So AI can also be used to craft pieces of malware that can then be deployed by these phishing email attempts. And if somebody clicks on a link that they shouldn't, it can then get these malware things installed on their systems, and hackers can then use doors to get onto systems and so on. There's a lot of different ways that hackers are using AI to try to be to one step ahead, so to speak. And data poisoning as well. It might be that hackers are using or they're corrupting training data, and that might then mislead security AI models as well. But human judgment, as I said earlier, is definitely still needed when it comes to anything to do with AI. That all said, there's a lot of benefits as well for AI in cybersecurity. So for things like threat detection and prediction, AI might be able to spot anomalies within systems that humans and traditional systems might miss. And automated incident response may also as well reduce some time from detection of a cyber attack or threat to the containment of it. And also, you mentioned ISPs as well. There's another area that I think organizations should do a lot more for, and that's particularly in finance and banks. I think that they should be able to do more in terms of fraud detection, and AI can also spot those fraud patterns. And actually, I've got a real world experience of something in that area that happened to me. So last year, it was Good Friday. I'd been out for the day with friends. I'd come back and had a traditional meal of fish and chips in the evening with my husband. And the funny thing was, I never usually go online in the evenings. That's my time to spend with my husband and my dog and, you know, chilling out and relaxing. But I had ordered something for my husband barista from Amazon. So I did go on my phone to have a look to see when it was arriving, because it hadn't arrived at that point. And I'd had two text messages that looked at first glance like they were from HSBC saying, "We've detected some fraudulent transactions on your account. Please call this number." And there was a number on there. And I didn't know if they were genuinely from HSBC or not. So rather than settling down for the evening and watching a biblical epic, which is always something I also do on Good Friday, I was about to sit down and watch Ben-Hur. Instead, came up, got on my computer, and I locked down everything that I could on my online banking. I changed my username. I changed my passwords. I changed my IDs. I did everything I could. I froze my cards as well. And then I called the number, but not the number that was on my text message. I called the number that was printed on the back of my debit card. And as it turned out, it was absolutely genuine. HSBC were indeed trying to get hold of me, because while I wasn't even online, somebody was attempting to make payments using my card details. One at Tesco's miles away from where I am, and another to some really weird debt collection agency or something. So it was a genuine attempt. And that's another area as well that I think banks could do more of how do we know when something is genuine, when that was, or whether it is a phishing attempt or an attempt by hackers to fool us into thinking it's our bank, so they're getting in touch with us.
Right, right. So basically, it's about using more due diligence, right? Like taking responsibility. Yeah. And being very good with our hygiene, right? Like our cyber yeah. hygiene, yeah? And, you know, that involves not leaving browsers logged in, as example. Like if you log into Google correct. Or something, you don't leave your browser logged into Google and then close your machine down, right? Like that's one thing that I heard. And I've been kind of following a routine of keeping things as clean as possible. Because otherwise, you can be they can copy your computer, right?
Absolutely, and in fact, exactly that has happened to one or two of my favorite YouTubers. For that reason, they'd left their browser open, and hackers have been able to circumvent and get through to their YouTube accounts. And one of my favorite YouTubers, Paul Hibbert, who runs a smart home automation channel called Hibbert Home Tech, somebody had got in and got rid of all his videos, everything, and was broadcasting out videos pertaining to be from Elon Musk and sign up, you know, here to this, you know, to this scheme and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he nearly lost absolutely everything. Luckily, a lot of the community around his channels to banded together. And then there's another really good YouTuber that I follow also in the smart home space called Stu's Reviews. And Stu was able to work with Paul and YouTube to get access back and all his videos restored. But he was offline for a good, I'd say, 48 to 72 hours while all that took place. So anybody listening, if you use YouTube as a channel to make money from that, and that's your main source of income, what you're doing, definitely have two-factor authentication set up and don't leave your browser window open.
Yeah, 100%. Sure. These things are so simple, but yet so many people don't follow that advice, right? And it's really sad. Like when it happens to you, you know, it's just such a surprise because it happens very quickly. And this is the thing. And I mean, I had someone register as an admin on my website the other day. That was quite strange. And I think it's because I'd actually left the room perhaps for 5-10 minutes, left me logged in to my website, and somehow they penetrate into your machine, they go in through the browser, and then they create an administrative account within your website. And this is how fast they are, because they can watch what you're doing. Even if you have what do you call it, you know, as many practices that are good, like VPN and all this stuff, if they know what they're doing, they can pretty much do anything that they want anyway, right? In my opinion, from what I've heard, yeah.
And a lot of these things absolutely. That you can put in place, as I said earlier, it's not a matter of if it's happening, it's a matter of when. But a lot of these measures might well buy you time to be able to lock everything down, get passwords changed, a little bit like what I did when that thing happened to me with my cards. With HSBC, I just went in and changed absolutely everything, and the way that I log on, changed my IDs and stuff on my you know, two-factor authentication, all those things before I phoned the number that was on the card.
Right. So in terms of like protecting AI protecting infrastructures, yeah, in many cases it's being used to protect infrastructures anyway. We just don't know about mm-hmm. it, right? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. So as I've mentioned earlier, there are a lot of ways that AI can be a benefit, especially with fraud detection, with adaptive defense. And also with AI-assisted vulnerability scanning, because if you're using a vulnerability scanner or antivirus or any of those products to you know, scan your systems to make sure that they're as secure as they can be, by doing a lot of that with AI, it means that you get faster and more accurate analysis of anything that might be going on under the bonnet, so to speak. So while AI is being used by hackers for cyber attacks, it also is being used for good as well in terms of securing systems.
Right, right. And hackers are just going to hack, right? Like they just hack. It's just what they do, yeah. And it, and it, and it's interesting. Yeah. The psychology of that is interesting to study, yeah. It's just like a challenge, right? Like it's like a game, yeah. It's like they just want to do it, and they're going to do it anyway, whether you like it or not. But it's just taking the time to actually look at what you're doing, making sure that you are as safe as you can be, and having everything backed up, right? If you back up stuff, you're in a better position, yeah. No one likes losing. No one likes losing data, right? Like it, you know, or losing access to things. But you just need to take the time to get some education, right? And you know, research things. Yeah. Try and analyze what properties you do have, and get a plan in place, right? Make sure your people are trained properly. They're up to date with their information. They're using the right tools, because it's about all of that stuff together, right? But like you say, definitely the human element is absolutely key, isn't it, at the end of all these things?
Yeah, absolutely. And what I will say as well is back up and back up again. And when you think you've got several backups in several places, back up some more. I cannot stress that enough, because as you said, it's horrible when something like that happens and you lose access to things. And I think as well, we're so reliant on things in the cloud. You know, our photos are in the cloud and our documents are in the cloud and everything is in the cloud. Well, what if forbid you had a cyber attack and somebody got access to all your photos in your iCloud or in your Google Photos or wherever you store them? Those are absolutely precious memories. So I would absolutely say, if you've got things like that, don't just rely on storing them in the cloud. Store them, somewhere physically, on a drive, somewhere that you can get to. Because if you lose those precious memories, I can't think of anything more upsetting if that were to happen.
Very true. Very true. Well, I'm sure we're going to talk more about this topic next time we speak, because so much is happening. I mean, when we've got, people being added to Signal chats. Yeah. The question that I have is about that very specific thing is why was it a journalist that was added to that Signal chat, and who added them? Right. Those are two questions that I ponder when I have people on my Facebook sort of saying, making bold statements. Yeah. Like, oh, they're so dumb. It's like, do you really think they're that dumb? Do you? Could be orchestrated. We don't know.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I do have questions around that whole thing. And there are also a lot of insider threat cyber attacks that go on. It could be a disgruntled employee or somebody that leaks key data. I mean, there was one this week. The name of the organization escapes me, but all their HR data was leaked by a disgruntled employee, and that was everything from home addresses to phone numbers to salary information to any of their HR records, if there'd ever been any discussions around any health issues and so on. It does happen, unfortunately.
it's brutal, but I think the timing on these things, politically motivated, I mean, that's what I was talking about, for anyone that doesn't know. You obviously heard about it because some information basically was leaked about an attack that was happening. America were attacking a country, and a journalist was added to this Signal conversation. It's basically what I'm talking about. And I think that people love to judge and love to point the fingers, but you've also got to include a strategic communications plan that surrounds these governments. and think, well, hold on a minute, why is that being leaked when they've just told everyone about this new M47, I think it's called, this new jet, which is going to basically own the skies, right? I think it's slightly fishy. I find these things slightly weird timing-wise, if I'm brutally honest.
Absolutely. And I've had similar thoughts around the timing of all this. And we are in a very strange age at the moment, geopolitically, politically, and so on. And it's certainly something I'm keeping a really close eye on, seeing what develops. But yeah, the jury's out on that particular one, with that journalist being added to the Signal chat. Very odd.
Let's see. We'll talk about this in a few weeks' time.
Yeah,
we'll do another interview, and we'll dig deeper into AI and what we see, what's been happening. I mean, because obviously we got the what's it called? Quantum computers are coming into the side of things. So then you've got, you know, more potential for hackers to exploit. Once they get their hands on quantum computing, they can hack passwords. You know, quicker than you can say Jack Robinson, they can crack the toughest passwords, right? So I'd like to dig into that a bit more, because I don't know masses about it, to be honest. And I think it's quite an interesting topic for all the people out there that, you know, are kind of a little geeky but don't really want to tell anyone. I think it's quite a good topic. So thank you, Lisa. I've really thoroughly enjoyed speaking with you and digging into these interesting topics.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.